Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah, what's up with the man?
Blog Talk Radio, man.
Let's go.
In his life. Still got ladies choosing. Set my alarm clock for 3:45 Central Time. No snoozing. Whether the crib or you cruising. If you ain't tuned in to Dennis Live Show from 4 to 5:30, then you losing. It's about that time. Go on, hit the line. Go on, get your friend. Speak your mind or listen in. You know we about to get it in. Log on or listen in. Dennis Live, you so many internet gigabytes. Bill Gates, listen in. Love for other blog sites. Comparing the shadow of the cities. It's like bringing cats to a dog fight. On peso spit is pure talent. You couldn't see me if you turned on your halogens. Your half beams are fog like shat drop bomb. Info type triple dub. Western World ONE.com. The shat drop bomb. Need some info type triple W's. Western World ONE.com. It's a business live. In its 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 live.
Sleep Dilla Productions, Soundmaster T, WesternWorld.com, www.westernworldone.com, Blog Talk Radio, Chi-Town, what up? Let's go. You already know me.
Hey, check me out, y'all. As I walk to this micro telephone, I sit back and I say, hey, man, who is that guy? It is Dennis Live, that is. No, I'm just loud as loud. What up, world? What's going on, man? Y'all know how I do it, man. I got my own. Oh, you know what I'm saying? I just want to know, man, how y'all doing out there, man. I want y'all to call in early. Hit your boy up, 347-838-9106. Call in early, man. Just say what's up. Let me know how the weather is. I don't care what it is. I know y'all be listening in. Me and Pastor Mo, we went and checked out the archives on it, and we know that everybody's listening. Matter of fact, I think we're like 15,000 strong now. Wow. That's unbelievable, dog. But I mean, no matter what, when we click on that microphone, we 15 G's of data. I'm all gold every time. Well, anyway, man, before we get down with it, I'm going to go straight to it. Black on black crime. Why is that? You know what I'm saying? Is it because we live in the same area, community, city, or state? I don't know. I want to know. How can this be stopped, rather? What can we do, or what can we say to make this the crime rate deteriorate? I don't know. Let's talk, man. I want y'all to voice y'all opinion. I want to put all our minds together so we create one big mastermind and see what can we do. What can we do? I don't know. Y'all got to tell me, man. I want y'all to help me out, man. So what I'm going to do is this, man. I'm going to go to a quick commercial break. And then, you know what I'm saying, we're going to come back, and we're going to go into it. Let's go.
Tune in to the Dennis Live Network featuring our superstar roster. Every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., you got the conversation with Case, waking our urban people up. Followed by every Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time with the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo discussing real life matters and ministry and relationships. Then you have Hip Hop Fridays interviewing and playing the hottest pure talent from all over the world at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And every Saturday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, you are tuned in with the Dennis Live Show that is a general-based topic show interacting with the people. www.westernworld1.com
And don't make the mistake that most of your mothers and fathers made. When I wake up in the morning, my prayer is not thank God I woke up. The Ku Klux Klan woke up this morning. The drug pushers woke up this morning. I thank God that I made another 24 hours in the most vicious, nasty, hateful, insane nation that's ever existed, with my wits, without hating, without being bitter, without being mean. And I thank God that I survived 24 hours in that type of atmosphere, with the type of amusement and friendliness. And so I would say to young folks, don't be in a state of denial of the racism and sexism, but don't let that block you. Don't teach your children that you have to be twice as good as a white. That's an awful thing to teach your child.
Mm-hmm.
That's like saying because you're black, white America has a right to change your dollar for 94 cents. But we used to get 50 cents, and before that we used to get nothing. Young folks have to say, we don't want more change for a dollar. Excuse me, we want a full dollar's change for a dollar, or this cash register will never ring again.
Yeah.
I would also like for young blacks to understand that about 83% of all employment happened with small businesses. And excuse me, if you don't have a small business, then you have nobody to work for you. And I would say to young blacks, get into entrepreneurship. We will never catch up with white America till we get into business, because there's a thing called tax write-offs.
Wow. Powerful message, man. By Dick Gregory, man. This is part of the clip. That's part one of the clips that I'm going to play. It's another part to that. I want y'all to check that out. I want y'all to put that on y'all brains for a minute, man. I want to kind of elaborate on it a little bit. I want to know. I want to know what's going on. You know what I'm saying? Let me know. I mean, man, let's do this, man. Let me know what's up. A black community, man. Black on black crime, man. Why? You know, I keep on pausing, man, because, you know, this is really touching, man. There was one thing that he did say, too, man. He was like, man, to all the young people, man, get into black entrepreneurship. You know. Man, I'm lost for words, man. Y'all got to let me know, man. Call in. 347-838-9106. If not, then we just gonna go into it. You know how we do it. Let's go.
1, 2, 3, 4. Mother, mother, there are too many of you crying. There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But some mothers, we don't need to explain.
Yeah.
Hey, you, yeah, you. Are you bored? Are you just lonely? Are you just surfing the web or just on your Android phone, not doing nothing? Well, check it out. Look no further. Log on to www.westernworld1.com. That's WESTONWORLDONE.com. And check out some of the hottest unsigned artists from all over the world. Again, that's www.westernworld1.com. That's WESTONWORLDONE.com. Check them out. Log on. Let's go. Look and see what it is. You're not doing nothing. Get online. Look at that again. WesternWorld1.com. Let's go. We out.
Let's go.
Peace.
We out. Let's go.
Okay, my fault. Well, you heard it, man. Like Marvin Gaye said, man. What's going on, man? You got babies getting shot. You know, you got the police sirens just all over the place. You got 15-year-old kids, man, just leaving school, man. Just getting shot in the crossfire, not even knowing that once they got out of PE class, they not gonna even be able to make it home, even hug their mother or father, if not have both in the household. Another thing, man, these fatherless kids, guns, drugs, reality. I think reality is the only thing that you can't control, but you gotta accept the fact of that you gotta face the truth of reality. Fatherless, you know, I myself didn't have a father figure. I went through the stuff. You know, I went through the peer pressure days, I'm going to say. I went through that. But I think I turned out all right. You know, I didn't blame because I didn't have a father. You know, this is why I'm the way that I am. No, I mean, I took all accountabilities for myself. And I did it. You know, I had a talk, man, with a friend. Actually, two close friends of mine. One was saying, yeah, man, you know, the first thing that everybody want to do is they want to do a basketball tournament or, you know, some kind of sports tournament. But the thing is, when you do a sports tournament, people gambling on those. And when they gambling on that, guess what? Whoever wins, whoever wins probably don't want to pay up. Guess what? You got another gang-related thing that you got going on here. I was like, wow. He said, man, if you get them in academics or get a kid to write an essay or to do something like that of that nature, you ain't going to find nobody telling us, hey, man, I bet you $1,000 that kid don't write a 1,400-word essay and get it right. I was like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm not down in the sports, none of that, because we do need it. They did take away the midnight league. I got a close, you know, another individual friend that he's trying to, you know, do something right now with the young youth with the basketball tournaments, man, to try to get them going. But what can replace these guns? What can replace the drugs? You know, other than money. These kids out here trying to get it. See, my thing is this, man. I'm looking at the whole, you know, situation from a young kid's mind versus looking at it from, you know, older individual's point of view. Okay? I'm young. Okay? Y'all taking away all this. Let's say I don't have a father figure. Okay? Now I got to, you know, listen to my mother. You know, I got to respect women at the same time. Then, okay, now I don't, you know, have the nice luxury clothing, or I don't have the best habitat or the best housing. My parents, they working. You know, they can only get me whatever they can, what they can afford. So I'm looking at that, you know what I'm saying, from a younger point of view. But I'm like, man, I see all these people out here, man, with the new Jordans on, with the, you know, with the hottest things, and it'd be my homeboy. It don't be no, you know, just somebody that I just seen. It'd be my boy. He doing it. He got put on selling drugs. So what that's gonna make me want to do? My parents can't do it. Okay, and what if we don't have that that mentality to where we got to do the entrepreneurship? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I'm a young kid. And when I was young, and we all was at that age, when I was young coming up, you know, I had friends, I mean, that joined gangs. I had friends that was selling drugs. I had friends that was playing basketball. But it was the money. I saw that, what they call that guap. What's going to make me as a young individual want to change my mind and say, I don't want to get this money. I want to continue on going to school. They got to start with the house. The parents. Because another one of my friends was just saying, man, hey, man, dude, what if that father and mother that wasn't in that child's life, but, you know, this drug dealer see the potential in this little kid, or this gang member see the potential in this kid coming back and forth from school every day. He got the money, he going to buy him a juice and, you know, send some chips and probably throw the football with him a couple of times. And now this little young man that's missing that father figure or that mother figure in his life, he going to look up to that person because he teaching them with what? Love. He's showing some love. He's probably not loving them, but he's showing love. I think that's what everybody missing. Where that love at? You know, I'm not saying, you know, when you see a kid, you know, just go out and buy them some gym shoes, or you see a kid, I bet you if you just ask a kid one day to just walk in, it probably look like he just lost. Man, where you going, big dog? How you doing? What's up with you? I bet that'll make his day or her day. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm just going off of this clip, man. This clip, man, was really deep, man. How, you know, he's speaking to these African-American kids and how, you know, a lot of people got us, you know, trying to compete with white America. Then also, too, man, I mean, my pastor, we was on the phone talking about how we are so far behind in years and all these other people are thinking so far ahead of time, and now here it is. We right back at square A now. At first, I think the crime rate has went down, like what in I want to say 09. First, it was Gary, Indiana, had the crime rate really bad in one summer. Then we got it, and then it just died down for like I think it was like 2010. You know, it died down, and all of a sudden, man, the epic just came out of nowhere. You know why? Because the poverty. The economical system, you know, said the economic system, you're looking at how many people have lost jobs. You just don't understand, man. But I don't know, man. I don't know. You tell me, man. You tell me. You know, I don't want to get long-winded with it. So, but I will get long-winded with it because you know why? It's the Dennis Live Show, baby, and I'm going to talk all day. Man, I don't smoke no squares or nothing. Drink some water. But I'm cool with that. I'm really cool with that, man. So, all right, man. Well, y'all let me know, man. We're going to come back, man. And we're going to touch the round table a little bit. If not, then I'm going to talk it out, walk it out. All right? Let's go. Thank you. Can't love you like I can, man. Have a jagged edge. You know, I was part of that group, man. Before I got sick, man. When I got sick, I need to sit up in a lot of y'all. Well, that was jagged edge, man. But you know what, man? That was Dick Gregory. Also, too, man, I played a clip earlier. Had to get up off that. I played a clip earlier, man, for Dick Gregory, man. And he was talking about entrepreneurship. You know, so I wanted to kind of elaborate on that a little bit. Do you think that's something that we can do? I mean, I hear about it. You know, a lot of people call in on the show. They say, yeah, man, you know, if we put our money back into our business and that way we can, you know, kind of run stuff and we'll keep it into our community, we can run stuff and we'll have our own and that way we'll keep it in there. So when? You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's already starting and, you know, people haven't reached out. You know what I'm saying? I want y'all, you know, if you got your own business or something like that or whatever and, you know, it's in the area, you know, I don't care where it's at. If it's in the, you know, state of Illinois, city of Chicago, you know, whatever, call in, man, 347-838-9106. You normally don't plug just anybody, but, you know, today I show you some love, man. But, yeah, man, I want to elaborate on that a little bit, what Dick Gregory was saying. Matter of fact, you know what? This is what I do. I just go into the second clip. And then I'm going to play both of the clips. Pure, I ain't going to even say that word. I'm going to play both of the clips throughout the show. And once I get it out to the community, because you know how we are, man. People want to call in whenever they want to. And then they'll be like, man, I missed what we talking about. Because, you know, people just call in just to show some love. And so you're going to hear these clips. You know what I'm saying, throughout the show a little bit. So what I do is I play the second part now for the people that's following me, and then we'll just go from there. All right, man, it's Dick Gregory part two. All right, let's go.
And if you have a job and come together, 10 of you, and open up a corporation and have somebody run it, you hire somebody to run it, but you have tax write-offs. 98% of people that fly first class on airplanes would not be there if that wasn't a write-off. And yet, on that first class, they gave away last year $800 million, almost $1 billion of free whiskey. But if a welfare mother asked for some apple juice for the baby,
mm-hmm.
she'd laugh at that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say entrepreneurship. And then understand that we will never survive as a group until we get into communities and not neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
A community is, I control the police, the banks, the schools, the firefighters, and I control the flow of the money. And I have no problem when I go in a Jewish neighborhood and the shop owners are Jewish, and I go into an Italian neighborhood and the shop owners are Italian. I have a problem when I come in a black neighborhood and the shop owners is not me. A Korean has a right to come in and buy my shop for $30 million more than it's worth. That's good business. But if we decide that we're not going to do business with that one, then he'll have to sell it back, or she'll sell it back to a black person for $1 million.
Yes.
And then the money circulates and circulates, and that's how you change. We've been so busy dealing with the hurt and the pain and the misery and glamorizing a hand few that have made it, that we have never really looked at, like they say, your role model. If you haven't got a role model in your house, you should fall on your knees and
yes.
pray to God, because something is wrong.
Yes.
And so I would say to young folks, it's not about alcohol, but it's hard for me to say that to you when a five-year-old got to reach past mama's beer and papa's wine to get some mayonnaise. I would also say to young folks that the number one drug that will wipe you out is not cocaine, it's not heroin, it's marijuana. And they deliberately make that a recreation drug, but it stays in the muscles, it stays in the blood, and it will wipe out your memory bank. And also, this is the first time in the history of TB that TB has always been known as poor folks. It's the first time that TB is not running rampant in the ghetto. It's running rampant in middle-income white America, because it's the marijuana that they spray, and that's no accident. And so I would just say to young folks, you have to reevaluate everything you've been taught. I would say to the black folks that just because a black person is 90 years old don't mean they have wisdom. And you need to listen to them, because if you was dumb and stupid when you was 9, you're dumb and stupid when you 90.
Well, there you have it. Man, I don't know what to say, man. I guess I'm speechless, man. I just do this. We got alert for LB. LB. And K. LB and K. LB is in the building. What's up, Dow?
Yes, sir. What's up, Big Dow? What's going on?
What's up with you, man? How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, man. I'm damn very much so doing wonderful. I'm blessed, you know. I'm blessed by the best. Just reevaluating the clip you just played. And the truth of the matter is, it is something so powerful and so profound that I think it something of that magnitude needs to be played on a regular basis, on every media station, TV, radio. I don't care if you send it with birds in the air with the message. I think there's something that needs to be played in the churches. I think this needs to be played as much as possible, because what we are speaking about is nothing but the truth. You can't argue it. You can't dispute it. You know, you can't. It just speaks volumes. You know, when you speak the truth, you can't argue about that. You can't lip box it. You can't say, you can't water it down, or you can't add anything to it. It is what it is. And I think that's something that we're very much so lacking, is someone to actually come straight to you and straightforward and say, hey, this is a problem. We do not see circulation of our dollars. We're the highest consumers in the United States, but we only make up 13% of the population. That most definitely has to be a problem. Do the math. If we're the highest consumers, and for those who only have a GED or don't pick up a book, that means the ones, consumers are the people who purchase all the time, who are always spending money. We are the highest people in the United States to spend money. But we only make up a very small percentage here in the United States, and that is 13%. Understanding the graphics, it's 100%. 13% is nothing. We are the highest percentage incarcerated, which is 85% in the United States. But we only make up 13% of the population. We are miseducated all the way around the board.
Wow. Well, man, hey, man, you couldn't have said it no better, man. I mean, dude, he said it better, man. You know what I'm saying? Dick Gregory said it best. You came out with it best, too, man. Yeah, we are. But people don't want to put it inside the communities. He said it, man. He said, once we get the communities ran, man, you know, We running things, you know what I mean? And I believe that, man. You know, I believe that. You know, dude, what I'm gonna do is this, man. We're gonna get right back to it, man. Matter of fact, let me do this here before we go to a commercial break. Hold on 1 second. Case, what's up, dog? You in the building?
Yo, what up? What up? Chase the Agreeable in the building. That's my new name, the Agreeable.
Okay.
What's popping, though, man? I heard. Ah, man. Nothing, man. Just hitting the road, coming back to the crib and everything. Man, I mean, I agree with what Dick Gregory was saying about the whole, you know, thing that's going on in the black community. But still, you know, me, the last thing we forgetting, but the first thing we forgetting is culture. I don't think you could do nothing without that, dog. I don't think you could do nothing without that. And, I mean, we have seen that for already about 50, 60, 70-some years already. And, I mean, me personally, this is me. Me personally, I don't think we're going any place without knowing who the hell we are first.
I mean, you're very much so right. You know, to a degree, you're very much so right, you know, as far as knowing who you are. But, you know, I know who I am, but I didn't have to go that far back in order for me to know who I am. I know, you know, being honest with yourself is the first number one thing, is your flaws. Knowing your flaws is just being the number one thing of knowing who you are, is being honest with yourself. If you're a procrastinator, you know that you're a procrastinator. You can tell someone, you know, I'm a procrastinator, you know. And if somebody tells you that you're a procrastinator, it's not going to break you all the way down, because you know this is who you are. You know you need to step your game up in doing this, that, and the other, you know.
Right. Well, that's what I'm talking about. I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, man. We're going to get a roundtable going on, man. Let's do it.
Hey, you. Are you bored? Are you just lonely? Are you just surfing the web or
just on your Android phone, not doing nothing? Well, check it out. Look no further. Log on to www.westernworld1.com. That's WESTONWORLDONE.com. And check out some of the hottest unsigned artists from all over the world. Again, that's www.westernworld1.com. That's WESTONWORLDONE.com. Check them out. Log on. Let's go. Look and see what it is. You're not doing nothing. Get online. Look at that again. WesternWorld1.com. Let's go. We out.
Let's go.
Yo, turn my music up. Up some more. Up some more. Up a little bit more. Mama always told me to be careful who I love, and Daddy always told me make sure he's right. I always had my eye on this one particular guy. I was too shy, so I decided to ride.
Today's topic is black on black crime, man. Why is that? Is it because we live in the same area, community, city, and state? I want to know. How can this be stopped? What can we do to make this, make the crime rate deteriorate? I don't know. Let's voice our opinions, man. Let's put all our masterminds together. And let's talk about this topic, man. You know, Dick Gregory just said something, man, that spoke volumes. You know, and I'm going to play them clips again. You know what I'm saying? After we do this little round table, I got LB and I got KC on the line. Y'all mics are on, fellas. So, black on black crime, man. You know, it's a deep. One of you guys, you can take the floor. Case or LB, it's up to you.
Well, you know, it's more than just one thing. The reason why we have black on black crime.
I got this for the tags: killings, reality, fatherless, drugs, guns. Pick your topic.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pick all of them. Let me tell you this, honestly.
My man.
Pick them all. Okay. First and foremost, the reality of the situation is, I don't care what God you want to call them. I don't care what you want to call them. Call them whatever. You can call them toilet paper. Understand there's a higher power that you can answer to. It's more powerful than ourselves. So at the end of the day, when you take that equation out of the picture, then anarchy sets up because you don't have any order. When you're not taught order, even in a gang, in some type of form of organized gangs, you had some type of order. We have nothing that we're actually basing our reactions on. Except television, but what a so-called gangster does. See, we try to mimic ourselves off the Italian mafia or the Irish mafia, and at the end of the day, when you look back at them now, they are organized. They're known, but not seen. So, at the end of it, by them being known and not seen, they're in legitimate business now. They're not in the illegitimate world and in that structure anymore. But we're still following that pattern of illegitimacy. There's no structure. One thing my man says, culture. That plays a big part in it. Not knowing your ancestry. Truly accepting that you are from Africa. Now, knowing what tribe and all that kind of stuff, hey, that's going to take some serious research because we were so mixed up. So I'm the individual, I don't like to dwell so much as far as in the past. I know that I am from Africa. If you really want to be technical, every nationality on this earth has come from Africa. Okay? They broke off and they established their own and they kept their own. That's the only difference. They stayed with what they created. We never stayed with what we were created as. So as we move forward in today's society, because the breakdown didn't really start to break down until the civil rights movement passed and the bill was signed in 1964. That was when the government got behind us and said we'll support us. But then that broke apart the family because we were supposed to stay together, but we didn't. But our powers that be knew what they were doing to infiltrate and break it apart because once we give you what you want, we know you don't know how to handle it. We didn't teach you the basic thing of economics. Why is the black-on-black crime? Economics. There's no money. But even if there was money, do you know what to do with it? So now we go down to education. If I give you a gun, you don't even have enough smarts to know how to operate the damn gun. To go take some lessons and learn how to shoot. That's to show you how uneducated you are. Because if you're going to deal in the crime, don't cry about doing the time. Because, why? I knew what I was getting involved in because I did the research. I educated myself to this degree. Why is there black-on-black crime? There's no leadership. Who's going to lead? I'm a proud advocate as a black... Go ahead. I'm going to say this. I'm a proud advocate as a black man of myself, the character that I am today. It does not mean anything if you do not start with self. And what I mean by self is, what are you putting in the black community? What are you creating to try to change the course that we're on? It only starts with one individual.
If you see a nigga running down the street, can you talk to the gangsters that's in your neighborhood? I don't give a damn who you represent. Can you talk to the gangsters in the neighborhood? Can you offer them a job? And is my right hand a God on my daughter? I call my child's mother right now, and she'll tell you this. I stayed on 36 and Giles. The same niggas that I got involved with, that I got into an altercation with, was the same niggas that I hired to work for me in a legitimate job. When they crossed the line with me, I spanked that ass. And I told them, I know how I feel, because I'm not moving. I stood my ground. When they seen what type of man I was, how can we get involved with you? How can we do what you do? We see you driving nice cars. We see you live a certain lifestyle. You have a certain type of woman. And you're not involved in the underworld. How can we get involved? What can you paint, brother? Do you know any carpenter skills? Mm-hmm. Even if you don't, I got something I could give for you so it could change your mind and put your mind in a different direction. It starts with self. We don't have any leaders out here.
Okay. All right, well, we're gonna stop right there. We don't have any leaders, man. Tim, did you want to elaborate, man? I mean, Case, did you want to elaborate?
Yeah, man, I just wanted to say, man, okay, man, basically, you know, he said the past has a lot to do with the future. And I'm not talking about basically living like Egyptians and living like that. I'm saying we had laws we lived under. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just saying all we need to do as a people is respect them laws, because then we will come together, you know what I'm saying, more orderly. You know, the thing is, we don't look, that's what we got to do as a black family and a black community, look at what keeps other cultures together. If we look at the Chinese, they together because they might be Buddhism, or they might, you know, be this or that, or just because they Chinese. Black people, why are we so separated, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to black people? When we are in our community, if a black person win $1 million, they move up out of the hood. They don't try to put that money back in the hood. And I mean, if you put $1 billion in the black community, that's not going to help. I mean, it's going to probably even get worse than what it is getting. You know what I'm saying? Because none of us live by a rule. None of us have any type of culture, no values. We live under the American cultural system. And if y'all look at the American cultural system, it's dying. You dig what I'm saying? The dollar is about to die. We're about to be in World War III. Look at the values when you turn on your TV that this culture has to provide for your kids. When you turn on the radio, look at the culture and the values that they have to provide for your kids. Now, I'm not saying, you know what I'm saying, everybody's from different tribes that's African, yes. But that's traditional things that different tribes did. When I say culture, I mean they lived under almost the same rules, you know what I'm saying, of conduct. So they traditions, as far as they traditions, I don't know their traditions, but they lived under the same rules as conduct. Black people have no rules of conduct that we live under. You know what I'm saying? We basically struggling to get it. Wait, real quick. We basically struggling to get the white man getting out. Me and Sleep had this conversation
You're very much so correct on that. As far as the rules of conduct.
Let me finish this real quick. Me and Sleep had this conversation where if you look in the neighborhood, what is everybody trying to get? If you ask a kid, what's the flyest gear he can get? What'd he say to you? He's going to say Gucci, Versace. These are Caucasian designers. You dig what I'm saying? We don't even shop with ourselves. And then when you tell them, man, how about rocking so-and-so, so-and-so? I ain't wearing that shit. Why? Because they have a lack of values and a lack of culture that they don't even know that spending money with this, you know what I'm saying, with their own people is going to put them in a better position. No, we strive to be just like the Caucasian and get everything that he wants, because we feel as a unit, I mean, some black people feel if they have what the white man, it somehow massages the pain of the shit that we're going through in the community. That's why I said when a black person get $1 million, the first thing they want to do, move up out of the hood.
Well, you said a mouthful right there. He's damn sure right about that. First thing they do, want to move up out of the hood. And I see that's a problem
I see that as a problem. Because at the end of the day, you know, I'm not getting out of the hood. I'm gonna stay the hood. I don't care how much money I have. I might as well take the money that I have and reinvest back into the black neighborhood and try to save some people's souls. You know, even if you just affect one, it starts with one. The change starts with one. I've never been the one to get up and move where the white people live, and just because you so it's so called safe. Understand what I say, so called safe, because their safeness is hidden. Their demons are hidden. It's not something that they put on display. They don't put it out there on display. But they have a whole lot of demons, because if they didn't, we wouldn't be in the position that we're in right now. One thing that I tell people, and I joke about it all the time, but it's the truth. You know, we talk about people stealing. I say, you know, hold on now. White folks stole a whole country, and ain't nobody made a big old fuss about it yet. Anybody say nothing about them stealing the whole country? And they so bold about it, they stole a whole country and got a holiday after it. You get off on that day. And nobody ever said, how did you find something that somebody was already living on? How did you discover it?
Right.
Somebody living on this already. How did you discover it? Wouldn't they be the ones who discovered it? Find out who was the first person over there that discovered it. Then okay. They'll make a holiday after that.
You a fool. Hey, man, let me go ahead and play this commercial, man. We'll be right back.
Tune in to the Dennis Live Network featuring our superstar roster. Every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., you got the conversation with Case, waking our urban people up. Followed by every Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time with the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo discussing real life matters and ministry and relationships. Then you have Hip Hop Fridays interviewing and playing the hottest pure talent from all over the world at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And every Saturday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, you are tuned in with the Dennis Live Show that is a general-based topic show interacting with the people. www.westcityworld1.com.
Like two bad nurses, and the pain from these here motherfucking verses. Ridiculous thirsts involving hearses. To the dirt shit first, fixing it in autos to work with. Slug to the shirt shit, chest a squirt shit. I'm making it with an expert kit. From birth to the earth split, it'll hurt it. Show you how worth it didn't work. Get in its zone. See the vein when the pain repair is in the clothes and the curtains fit.
When adrenaline's pumping,
I don't understand discussion. Only hear certain shit. I'm a misunderstood nigga, and I'm off my square. How got me reversing flips and dispersing shit?
What can I say to make you see how the fuck I feel? To make me wanna jump over the edge. I'm charged up and covered, getting shot up on the legs. Don't paint instead of cane, I took a blood off to the head.
Hold on, man. Stop that, man. Stop. Just stop right now. Hey, y'all want to hear music like that? Y'all turn on every Friday, 7:30. Y'all ain't getting none of this. Here you go. Y'all can have this for Saturday. Let's go.
Hold alone, hold alone, paging you.
And don't make the mistake that most of your mothers and fathers made. When I wake up in the morning, my prayers, and I thank God I woke up, the Ku Klux Klan woke up this morning, the drug pushers woke up this morning, I thank God that I made another 24 hours in the most vicious, nasty, hateful, insane nation that's ever existed, with my wits, without hating, without being bitter, without being mean. And I thank God that I survived 24 hours in that type of atmosphere, with the type of amusement and friendliness. And so I would say to young folks, don't be in a state of denial of the racism and sexism, but don't let that block you. Don't teach your children that you have to be twice as good as a white. That's an awful thing to teach your child.
Mm-hmm.
That's like saying because you're black, white America has a right to change your dollar for 94 cents. But we used to get 50 cents, and before that we used to get nothing. Young folks have to say, we don't want more change for a dollar. Excuse me, we want a full dollar's change for a dollar, or this cash register will never ring again.
Yeah.
I would also like for young blacks to understand that about 83% of all employment happened with small businesses. And excuse me, if you don't have a small business, then you have nobody to work for you. And I would say to young blacks, get into entrepreneurship. We will never catch up with white America till we get into business, because there's a thing called tax write-offs.
What I just want to do here, man, for drinking a boy without father too. Yes, Rado, Rado, what's up, y'all?
What's happening?
What's up?
Hey, yo, volume or something's going on with your connection. I'm not sure if it's me or you guys.
It's going in and out.
Yeah, I hear you now.
Okay, great.
We touching on a topic that we talked about earlier today. About the black on black crime. I can tell that the two brothers that's on the line, Brother LB, and I'm not sure what the other brother's name was on the line, but it was very It was very passionate about what was going on, because we all once was a part of it. You know, we either bear witness to it or seen it happen right in front of us. And it's something that's been going on for eons since they brought us over here. You know what I'm saying? So it was always a competition. You know, from the beginning of time, you had the outside, what they call it, nigga, and they had the inside nigga. And if people wanted to work hard to be the inside guy, to be close to the master, that means you was the master's favorite, you know. And sometimes they get in a scuffle or a brawl, or sometimes the one try to kill the other, because he knew he was next in line to be the inside guy. See, you know, and I'm not sure why it's like that, but on these streets when these brothers out here selling these drugs and gangbanging, you know, in order to get respect, you know, he got to go to jail to shoot somebody. And I'm not sure why that's like that. You know, it's probably designed all the way back from the Wendy Lynch letter, or designed all the way back since the scientists keep a drug store by every church, you know, so we can, you know, self-inflict and kill each other. But the beautiful thing about that We chosen people, and God has been with us a long time. We got freedom of choice and free will. And even young brothers don't know who they are, which I can never stop saying. And once they figure out who they are, they will act different. I mean, every brother on this line right now, if you found out Oprah was your first cousin, your whole attitude changed. You know what I'm saying? So by you knowing you're the prince of the father, we should be doing the same thing. Our God is a jealous God. So we got to, you know, you got to figure out who you are, plug yourself in, get in that word, and then your whole reactions will change. People think this is just some rigmarole and praise the Lord, let's pray, and it comes off the tongue so fast, but people don't realize there's real power in there. Think about all those circumstances that people we went through, and you can't even explain how you even got through it, you know? And I just, you know, a year ago, I lost a very close cousin of mine to black-on-black crime, you know, and right in front of me. And God was with me because I didn't, you know, go meet my maker right with my cousin. But, you know, I was right there. The nozzle was pointing right at my face. He could have pulled the trigger. I was one of the biggest threats. I was one of the biggest threats. But I wasn't, you know. And God has a plan for all of us. But at the same time, we have to educate ourselves to realize that when it comes all said and done, and something happened, which we in the process of end of days, all this gangbanging and stuff gonna come to a cease because we're gonna have to work together to survive. If we mess around and be a holy war and they come around here chopping people's heads off, you know, because they can't stop what's going on, it's happening right in front of us. You know, we're gonna have to work together to survive. So, but the sad part about it, our smartest, our strongest warriors is in jail. You know, you got to have some smarts to run an operation selling crack cocaine, making millions of dollars, and training people that had no common sense to even how to count to be at the right position at the right time. You probably have them catch, you know, building our budget. Maybe we would be out of debt. So, you know, we all putting our energy towards the wrong things. And these brothers need saving, and, you know, and these churches need to, you know, you be more aggressive and let them in the door and be able to pray with them and go in their neighborhood. And you got to understand, all the places that even Jesus went, he didn't go to the bougie neighborhoods. He didn't hang out in Rome, you know. He went where the poor people was at. He went with people who were sick, you know. And mm-hmm. That's what we need to do. We got to help minister these brothers because they only know one way, take it, you know what I'm saying, or steal it. Or kill for it. You know what I'm saying? So if that's what they're saying on the street, that's what they're saying on TV, then who's giving them an ultimatum of another way how to do it?
Let me ask you this real quick, though. You said they only know one way, kill and take. Who did they get that from?
They see it on TV. They see it from their fathers. They see it from their cousins. They see it.
No.
Who did that originally
come from? Kill what you want, take what you want.
Oh, the white man. But think about this. How many times you've seen an abusive father beat up
a
kid
a lot of times.
Over aggressively? And then when that kid grow up, he do the same thing to his kid.
I most definitely understand where you're coming from as far as where did you see it? Where did you see it come from? But you also have to understand it is. At some point in time, you have to take accountability. You have to stop using that as an excuse because if a poor immigrant can come over here and pull himself up off the bootstraps, yes, he's given a grant, this, that, and the other, but at some point in time, when are you going to start taking accountability own action? I'm saying, I understand we see gangsters on television. I understand we see gangsters on television, and everybody wanna be the Godfather. Everybody wanna be like old boy in the Goodfellas, you know, where we see the person coming along and he is a gangster. Who don't wanna be the Don? Who don't wanna have somebody kiss their pinky ring? But also we gotta take accountability. Rick Ross is telling you kiss his pinky ring too. So it's perpetuating the same type of thing over and over again,
where at some point in time, when are we going to be accountable for our own wrongdoings? You know it's wrong. When you came out your mother's womb, God gave you the intuition of right and wrong. This is embedded in us from we choose wrong. God gives us the intuition of right and wrong.
Here's my point of what I was saying, AB. I'm saying, black people have no culture. Would you just listen? We have no culture. We have no values. The only values that we know is the ones that was taught to us. We have lost all of that. Now, we could say all day, black people come from ancient Egyptians. We come from the ancient Kemetics. But what happened as soon as we lost that culture over there? People came in, invaded and everything. When we was fighting ancient Egyptians and Kemetics to keep the Roman people out of our territory, we had something to fight for. But once we lost that culture, we did not have nothing to fight for. Now we have a system that provides you with the culture and a structure how to live. And none of them structures and values inside of that structure really shows you anything. It shows you nothing at all. This is what I'm talking about. Now, we can have money in the black community all we want, but money is not going to give you back your dignity and respect. That's what we are lacking in the black community, dignity and respect.
I'm most definitely that.
When we don't respect each other, it's easy for a black kid to take out a gun and shoot another black kid because they don't even know nothing about themselves. They don't think that's their brothers anymore. They just think, oh, this is my enemy. I need to go ahead and do this and do that. And then you say gangster and all of these other cultures and everything. Okay, gangster, being a gangster is in Italian culture. So, yes, they're trying to give somebody else's culture. That's how black people is. We get into martial arts and you know, you have brothers that do the Chinese thing. You have brothers that do the Buddhism thing. You have brothers that, because they don't even know their own culture, so they quick to run to somebody else's culture.
Let me reply to this.
What we're seeing today, we're seeing black people trying to fit into another culture. Nobody can tell me nothing that black people ain't tried to do yet, and we still ain't, we went in a circle. That's it. We fought for rights. We fought for this. That's not going to work like that, man. So we need to try.
Let me ask you a question. You said one thing about the Chinese culture and as far as the martial arts. The masters of the world, all of the top masters of the world, are what nationality? Black. When they did a special on TNT as far as all the masters of the martial arts, the Tai Chi, all the karate and everything, all of that, they see it right there on TNT. All of that equips back to Africa. It didn't come from over there.
That was a stolen art.
So everything, basically what I'm saying is this. I understand what you're saying as far as lost culture. You're very much so right. We got to find somewhere. But I'm also saying is this. Everything comes full circle at some point in time because it started from somewhere. It started from us. What we need to find out, because we blacks have always been fighting blacks. When there was no other nationality on this earth, it was nothing but blacks. We were fighting each other because that was just in our nature. That's in man's human nature.
I mean, explain to me what part of history was we fighting each other?
If there were tribes in Africa, and there are different tribes in Africa, and they were black, is that not black on black?
No, first of all, that's why I say we need to learn history, because the tribal thing didn't really come up until, I don't have the exact time when it came up, but Africa was just known as one place. Everybody was one thing at one time. That's number one. But what I'm saying about the martial art thing, I know that came from ancient Kemet and everything. What I'm saying is you had black people, we seem to get into everybody else's culture faster than we get in our culture. What I'm saying is, man, did we not fight for rights? Did we not lose Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and all that way, fighting for the same thing, trying to put money in our communities? We ain't tried to bring our culture back. Why is it that an African kid can come from Africa and come in the United States and outperform a black kid, outperform a Chinese kid, outperform a white kid? Why? Because they have
a cultural drive that their parents taught them. Because of the drive, and because they had a father to teach them that. You got to understand, us black men in the city, in the U.S., father's not standing up and taking care of their seed. Their mama is teaching them how to be men, teaching them how to piss in the toilet, teaching them how to fight back for be resentful. You know, and a man and a woman cannot do that. So it's simple stuff. God makes these things simple. We're working too hard and we're looking at logistics and stuff like that. We do have a culture. Mm. We just got to get replugged in. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, a lot of this stuff is from, man,
you can sit back and do the history. If you're digging that deep, I promise you everything going to plug back to a black light. You know what I'm saying? All the way back from the original man, all the way back from a Kung Fu man, all the way back from Buddhism. The original Buddha was black.
When you have to learn them systems in order to understand the meaning of them?
We all cutting each other off. We have to sit still to be able to understand where it's coming from. And we as men, middle age, the 28s and the 35-year-old brothers, got to reach back to those young teens and give them an avenue to say, look, man, let me show you a better way how to do that. You don't have to do it this way. We the ultimate hustlers. You know what I'm saying? I'm a two-time fella. So what? Take your link card, go to the grocery store, grab you some fruit, sit on that corner at 5 in the morning, sell some fruit bags, and triple your money. You know what I'm saying? We're the ultimate go-getters. But all you got to do is be polite and be presentable and don't stink. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is, it's ways to do it, but they don't want to do it because of pride. Pride is the devil grandson. It'll destroy any house. So once they erase that and get themselves plugged in and realize that they warriors, not punks or not, you know, originators from some type of fiction story that everybody tells them about, you know, they design that thing so off the chain that the women run the house. They the ones that bred winners. You know, it come God, the woman, and then the man. You know what I'm saying? That's what destroys a man's pride because he can't even get a shot.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Look at that. It's all set up. The women control our job market almost 75%. And then guess what? When you get home, you can't name out of, you name on your fingers right now out of your phone book, I bet you out of 10 of them who with a significant other, the woman make more money than the man.
Hey, man, well, on that note, man, let me take a quick commercial break, man. We're going to come right back at it. We're going to turn the mics on. Let's go.
Tune in to the Dennis Life Network featuring our superstar roster. Every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., you got the conversation with Case, waking our urban people up. Followed by every Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time with the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo discussing real life matters and ministry and relationships. Then you have Hip Hop Fridays interviewing and playing the hottest pure talent from all over the world at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And every Saturday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, you are tuned in with the Dennis Live Show that is a general-based topic show interacting with the people. www.westcityworld1.com.
All right, man. Hey, man. We were talking about Dick Gregory, man. We played part one, man. So here go part two of that clip. And then I'm going to turn the mics on, brothers. And we're going to go ahead and wrap this in. Let's go.
And if you have a job and come together, 10 of you, and open up a corporation and have somebody run it, you hire somebody to run it, but you have tax write-offs. 98% of people that fly first class on airplanes would not be there if that wasn't a write-off. And yet, on that first class, they gave away last year $800 million, almost $1 billion of free whiskey. But if a welfare mother asked for some apple juice for the baby,
mm-hmm.
she's laughed at.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say entrepreneurship. And then understand that we will never survive as a group until we get into communities and not neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
A community is, I control the police, the banks, the schools, the firefighters, and I control the floor of the money. And I have no problem when I go in a Jewish neighborhood and the shop owners are Jewish, and I go into an Italian neighborhood and the shop owners are Italian. I have a problem when I come in a black neighborhood and the shop owners is not me. A Korean has a right to come in and buy my shop for $30 million more than it's worth. That's good business. But if we decide that we're not going to do business with that one, then he'll have to sell it back, or she'll sell it back to a black person for $1 million.
Yes.
And then the money circulates and circulates, and that's how you change. We've been so busy dealing with the hurt and the pain and the misery and glamorizing a hand few that have made it, that we have never really looked at, like they say, your role model. If you haven't got a role model in your house, you should fall on your knees and
yes.
pray to God, because something is wrong.
Yes.
And so I would say to young folks, it's not about alcohol, but it's hard for me to say that to you when a five-year-old got to reach past mama's beer and papa's wine to get some mayonnaise. I would also say to young folks that the number one drug that will wipe you out is not cocaine, it's not heroin, it's marijuana. And they deliberately make that a recreation drug, but it stays in the muscles, it stays in the blood, and it will wipe out your memory bank. And also, this is the first time in the history of TB that TB has always been known as poor folks. It's the first time that TB is not running rampant in the ghetto. It's running rampant in middle-income white America, because it's the marijuana that they spray, and that's no accident. And so I would just say to young folks, you have to reevaluate everything you've been taught. I would say to the black folks that just because a black person is 90 years old don't mean they have wisdom, and you need to listen to them, because if you was dumb and stupid when you was 9, you dumb and stupid when you 90.
Oh, man, that was deep. He said, man, just because he an older person don't mean that they have to have wisdom. Just because you was 9 and you didn't know no better, but make sure you don't know something when you're 90. Man, Dick Gregory went in on that, fellas. You know what I mean? Before I turn the mic on, man, I got to honor this guy, man. You know what I'm saying? This guy got a show every Thursday night, man. I guess he must have heard one of his panel members. And so he said, man, hold on, man. That voice sounds familiar, man. So, you know, I have to bring him in, man. Let me honor this guy, man. Pastor Mo, what's up, man? How you doing?
All right, Brother Dennis.
Okay, okay. Man, I want to honor you, man.
Praise God, man. I just listening in to the program. I just want to say, man, it's going really, really good. I don't think you can go too many places and hear brothers articulate in such a passionate way what's going on in our community, in particular with the violence, and, you know, how can we turn it around, or what can we do to be a part of the solution and not the problem.
That's right. That's right. Well, what I'm going to do is this, man. I totally understand where you're coming from. Can you hear me?
Yeah, and you know what, Brother Dennis, being a part of the solution, we have to know what the problem is. And I believe that's the single most skipped over part when we have these discussions, is we don't know what the problem is. And so somebody would say, well, it's because the father is not the household. Somebody might say it's because of the economic situation, or somebody might say it's because of culture. But I would offer, if I can, Brother Dennis, I would offer this to the conversation, and then I'm a mute my phone and listen to the dialogue. In the Bible, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, this is what it says. It says, "Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast?" This is what the Lord says. "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. Now, in that two verses lies the problem, and it also lies the answer. And say, it gives the problem and it gives the answer. Most of our young men, if you see them on the street or if you have a conversation to them, it appears that they're angry. And sometimes you may even say, man, why are you so angry? Why are you so mad? What is going on in your life that you're that angry? Why are your face downcast? Why are you looking sad all the time? Why, you know, what's going on in your head? Why isn't any day a good day for you? And most of them will tell you, I don't know. You know, I can't tell you why I'm mad. I can't tell you why I'm frustrated or why I'm upset or why I look the way I look or sound the way I sound or do what I do. And so listen to what the Lord says here. He says to Cain, he says, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? And so he tells Cain, why are you angry? Why are you mad? Why are your face looking like that? If you do what's right, wouldn't you be accepted? Wouldn't you feel a part of something? Because sin is around your door, and it desires to have you. But you must master it. When you don't have a true sense of purpose, divine purpose in your life, what happens is sin takes over your purpose. And we know how sin jumped into Cain and how out of jealousy, out of envy, out of anger, he killed his own brother. And so that's what we're talking about today, about why our brothers killing not only brothers, but killing babies, killing the boys who ran up in the park and shot a girl point blank. You know, they are angry and don't know why. It ain't about the money. It ain't about the single parent homes. It ain't about every other excuse that you can come up with, too much drugs, too much this, too much. No. The problem is our children are empty vessels, and they are prime candidates for sin to take over their lives. And what happens is when you get a child at 7 who starts smoking weed, that's the natural average right now of children who smoke weed start at 7 years old. When they get to 12, they've been smoking marijuana for 5 years straight. And they can tell you everything about that. They can tell you every name that exists about it. That means sin has taken over that vessel. And so now when you try to talk culture to them, they're not hearing that. When you're trying to talk God to them, they're not hearing that. When you're trying to talk what is right to them, they're not hearing that. Just as God spoke directly to Cain about the sin nature, he didn't hear God. His jealousy and his rage overthrew him. And that's what we're dealing with today. We're dealing with a godless child walking around the streets of every neighborhood, in urban neighborhoods in particular, but they're godless people. And so anything goes. So they don't care about a six-month-year-old baby getting shot 6 or 7 times. They don't care about running up in the park, shooting a girl down in front of her friends. They don't worry about running up in your house, tying you and your wife up and doing every and everything to them. They are godless people. And the answer is God. Now the question becomes, how do we get God into a godless person? And that's our struggle. So I'm going to listen to the commentary, Brother Dennis. I just want you to know, man, beautiful show. And the brothers are right on point.
Hey, man, hey, I just want to thank you for coming on the show, man. You know, I'm going to turn the dog pound mics back on, man, because I'm not coming behind it. I'm not going to say nothing. That was good for that. I ain't coming behind that. Hey, fellas, y'all got the mics on. Y'all go in. Pastor Mo said it. What y'all got on there? Who want to elaborate on that? I got all y'all mics on.
Hey, I just want to say real quick, he said about, you know, the little brothers on the street that's angry about stuff, like, and it's not the money. Like, I ain't even going to front. I mean, I beg to differ, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Every time I talk to one of these little shorties out here, they talk. See, the thing is, they watching TV, man. They haven't, like I said, the United States value system put into them. And their whole value system is selling people a dream. And that's what they're selling these kids, a dream. You dig what I'm saying? Every kid wants to be a rapper now because they see these little dudes with the Bugatti and all of that. They tease them with the pie and just, you know, throw out the curse. And that's what these shorties, you know what I'm saying, is fighting for. They're not happy about anything else. So, you know what I'm saying, they're getting a dream sold to them through the media. So, of course, a lot of them is going to be mad that they don't have that life. Now, we could say the whole father thing is the problem and everything, but let's look at it. In the 1960s, that's when the fatherless black child really, you know what I'm saying, came into play. You know what I'm saying? Because now we have black women locked into a system that don't allow the black man to do anything. Like, if you take Section 8, for instance, they won't even give most women Section 8 when they married. You dig what I'm saying? You got to be a single mother to get Section 8. So, you know what I'm saying, when the Section 8 people come out, and I don't think this is done, like, the man got to leave the house and all of that. So, I mean, it's a lot of stuff that just play a part in, you know, why the whole community is messed up and why these shorties is like that. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it's a whole thing of, I don't want to disagree with Pastor Mo, but I don't think it's a whole thing of them being godly, you know what I'm saying, ungodly. I just think it's that, you know, they under a different value system, and, you know, that's just it. You can't have another culture under a value system, man. Chinese people are not living, you know, trying to live the American dream like that. You know what I'm saying? They make their kids study. They make their kids go to school or whatever. Spanish people, they got their own little thing they living under. But black people, we don't have anything we living under. We still trying to live like the white man. We still fighting to live like the white man, and it's just not working for us. If anybody can provide, real quick, I want to say this. If anybody can provide anything that we have did in the last 100 years as black people that actually work for black people, I'll listen. But other than that, we've been in this circle. We can throw money in the community, as I said, but nothing's really going to happen. I mean, look at people like Oprah. Oprah won't throw money in the community. Jay-Z won't throw money in the community because they know they're not going to get backed by black people. If anything go awry or, you know what I'm saying, break out, they're not going to get backed by black people. So this is why we're not going to ever really get money into our community because, you know, people know. Nobody wants to deal with black people. Nobody wants to trade with us at all.
Well, going back to what we were saying about what you were saying about money, it's money in the community is what you do with it. You're too busy spending it on Cadillacs and Air Jordans. So if you look at those numbers coming from companies, it's millions and billions of dollars coming out of our community there. So it's money there. It's what you do with it. The priorities messed up. So how are they going to get an opportunity? These Chinese people have a god that they worship. These Spaniards, they got a god that they worship. You know, it's a structure. It's a guideline. It's a foundation. We, black people, have a god that we have structure. And until you accept that, period. So I don't care how many times you go around it or how many times you try to not to say, oh, it's this, it's that. If you don't have God in the middle of it, you building your house on sand. Period. And there's no way. When you get shot, regardless if you believe or not, first thing come out your mouth, oh, my God. So if that's the case, you'll be saying some cuss words. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is behind it, he built that foundation to let you know everything that we struggling with is making it so complicated. It's simple. Everything about this answer to fixing, saving the black, young black man, it was the secret to saving the world. Because if you think about it, every white boy, every white girl, every Hispanic young boy want to be like the black boy. They want to sag their pants. They want to rap. They want to be top athletes. Everything revolves around us. We, the black people, that's black boys, ain't smart enough to realize that that the world revolves around us, but they want to fight and kill each other. And that's what it is. It's a trick. And they don't realize they're in a set-up system for us to fail. You have to stop, stand still, pray, figure out who you are, and when you figure that out, you will go in the right direction because you will stop poisoning yourself with the alcohol and the weed and going upside women's head and killing each other because he got the corner and he's selling more loose squares than me. It's not about...
Hey. You. Are you bored? Are you just lonely? Are you just surfing the web or just on your Android phone, not doing nothing? Well, check it out. Look no further. Log on to www.westernworld1.com. That's WESTONWORLDONE.com. And check out some of the hottest unsigned artists from all over the world. Again, that's www.westernworld1.com. That's WESTONWORLDONE.com. Check them out. Log on. Let's go. Look and see what it is. You're not doing nothing. Get online. Look at that again. WesternWorld1.com. Let's go. We out.
Let's go.
Peace.
Let's go.
Peace.
All right, man. We back, man. We back in the building, man. And, you know, like I always say, man, you brothers, man, y'all bring heat. Y'all bring heat. And also, too, man, this brother right here, man, you know, he's on fire, too, man. So I'm gonna bring him in without further ado, man. This man really don't need no introduction, but I'm going to bring him in anyway the right way. Mr. Solution, man, how you doing, man? You in the building? All right, man. Hey, Mr. Solution, how you doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Yeah, thanks for the nice intro. Well, what happens at a certain point, people evolve to where they put substance over symbolism. Actually, this is the prescription for any people to avoid these kind of negative consequences that you identify. Every group has fought among itself and within itself for particular reasons, some worthwhile, some non worthwhile. But what you're talking about here is ultimately, I only kill you if I don't value you. Okay, you protect that which you value. That's a fundamental premise. So what happens is, in the black community in America, American black community, let me be very specific, is they value symbolism over substance. In other words, oftentimes I say things to people, and they say, oh, he's so harsh. Well, damn it, what you're doing is worse than what I'm saying. The word fire can never be as hot as the actual fire. So what happens is there are plenty of examples of what people need to do. They need to start appreciating the rule of law, which none of these people obviously do, because the first commandment, one of the first commandments among men, is that you don't murder each other. Okay, so they don't value the rule of law. The other thing, they don't value family. Emphasis has to be put on the woman. It has to come from the church, the community, and every place. I'm not saying emphasis doesn't have to be put on the man, but the woman is the one that gets pregnant and bears the children. Many of these children, most of them, are bastards. They shouldn't be born in the first place. And until the people of that particular community and that particular suffering picks their damn knuckles up off the ground and start to get some morals and some ethics and stop just giving lip service to it, things won't change, or things will change when they do that. Start to develop businesses. I guarantee you won't kill somebody that's supplying you with something you need, and I'm talking about something legal, like food, clothing, shelter, transportation, education, things of those natures. Black folks in America, American black folks, get all of those things from other people. So they have no basis whereby to value each other. And 99% of the talk among black people is just guano. It's waste. They don't talk about anything intelligent, uplifting, movable. Learn something that you can do. Don't just talk for entertainment purposes. when you leave a conversation, have something in your mind that you can do. Otherwise, don't talk to the person anymore. Many black people have friends that they should not have. I question people all the time. I say, why is so-and-so your friend? Well, they don't have a damn clue. Everybody shouldn't be your friend. Only people where there's what you call a quid pro quo, a reciprocal relationship of benefit. That person is giving you something, you're giving that person something of value. And you all have to have the intelligence to determine what the hell that is. So your communities are run down because you don't value them. You don't value each other. You don't value good conversation, meaningful conversation. You don't even value God, because God tells you what? You're created in his image. So respect each other. Get your light ablaze under your pastor's asses, because a lot of them, now not all of them, but most of them, they're just in it for the money. They're what you call hirelings. They should be giving advice.
My daughter don't get in the paint, baby. No.
Go ahead. I hear you. I'm sorry about that.
They should be giving advice that improves the community. What pastors are often doing is giving information that improves their own pocketbook. They're giving you the notion of God while they're fleecing your pockets. And black women are nothing but cash cows and human slot machines in the black church for the most part. They're part of a big damn harem, okay? So that the hireling pastor rides roughshod over. All of them have this tithing thing. Tithing is a tax, a tenth. It is not meant for today, but yet most pastors enforce that. Why? Because they want a constant stream of revenue where they can go out and buy jet planes, live outside the community, and have everything that the idiots who give them the money can't and don't. So, look, this is a very simple process. Dr. Claude Anderson has chronicled this in his book, Powernomics. Read the damn book and then talk about the book. Most of Blog Talk Radio with American black folks on it is crap. They're not talking about anything worthwhile. They're just wasting time. And so this is what you need to do, is start talking to each other. Everything begins with an idea. You may want to look that word up. It's a very powerful word, by the way. And, start talking to each other. Connect with your universities. They already have the plan for your success. It's just gathering dust, as it has been doing for many, many years. Every other group of people hate your ass, and they're competing with you. What blacks should have done, now I know they can't do this, but this is just a motivating idea. They should have required a per capita head tax from every damn immigrant that comes into this country. Because they don't respect you. They come in, they benefit from what you did, and then they say, fuck you, if I can say that word. But the point of it is, they don't value you. If they had to pay you, they would value you. Because you spearheaded the civil rights movement, or your ancestors. So you don't get anything for your efforts. And people use you for toilet paper, even in their minds. They wipe their behinds with the thought of you. And so this is what you've got to do. You've got to, start embracing family. Stop embracing these bastard children. One of the worst things you can do to destroy any community is start having a bunch of bastard children. Now, women in America, and black women in particular, can veto anything the man says. That means she doesn't have to agree with it. She can absolutely trash it. And the law will protect her in it. You've got to get a different set of fucking women. You can't use these same women. These women have no place for you. And so these things are rather elementary. All you're doing is chasing after a facade, a dream, and it's never going to come to fruition. So I would encourage you, as a lasting point, get Dr. Claude Anderson's book, Powernomics, read it, and then discuss it with someone else. And stop saying, you know, when I talk to people and they say, well, it's not what you say, it's the way you say it. I'm like, F you. What?
I'm listening to you.
Yeah, because they don't want to hear it no matter how you say it. And only black Americans say that. You can tell me, you damn fool, there's $1 million at your feet. You think I'm going to say, oh, because you didn't say it nice, I'm not going to pick this up. No, what you value, you approach. Black folks in America, black Americans, do not appreciate uplifting, progressive knowledge. That is the reason there's such a devolution in the black community. Now, I would also encourage you, I was on a show where we talked about the talented 10th. The talented 10th of blacks in America, I think W.E.B. Du Bois talked about it, but at any rate, there's a group of people that are called the Black Elite. You can look that up on Wikipedia. And they do very well, by the way. They have businesses. They get good educations. They own infrastructure, you know, that sort of thing. But that's just a small percentage. And most of you never even know about them, right?
Right. Yeah,
they do well. They have nice annual incomes, nice communities. You need to look these people up and maybe have some of these people come on your show. Now, you would probably have to invite them. They probably listen in from time to time, as many will do, just listen in, don't call. But you need to, if you want to be successful, get around successful people. Stop being so jealous and ego-absorbed that you can't bow your damn knee a little bit, because reality is going to break your back anyway. So if you want to learn how to be successful, pick out somebody that is successful and then talk to them. Now, what they've defined as success is making twice as much as you do. In fact, that's what most people say. In order for them to be wealthy or rich, they need to make twice as much as they're making. So I'm just using that sort of as a starting point. But pick someone out that's better than you. Every other group values certain people in their communities. They don't look to these people that they'll never meet. Looking to someone that you'll never meet as your hero is stupid. Your hero should be someone you can interact with on a monthly or weekly basis. Not someone who never comes to your community, you can never talk to, you can never be around. That should not be your heroes. Your heroes should be the people in your immediate area. Does that make sense to you? I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and then talk about things. Get that book. They once said, if you want to hide something from a black American, put it in a book, because they know most black Americans do not read. So open the pages of that book. Prove them wrong, you know, not for the group's sake, but for your own sake, because most black folks don't read. I was on a show where a woman started chiding me for using what they call big words. I told her, I say, woman, lady, with all due respect, you're just a lazy ass. There's what you call dictionary.com. I would go there and look up any word that you don't know, or ask the person. You can ask the person, well, I'm sorry, you used the word that I don't know the meaning of. Would you please explain that to me? What's wrong with that? No, you want a person to be as stupid as you are. Well, that would make them you.
All right. I mean, basically, Mr. Solution, in a nutshell, man, you broke down what I was trying to say when I be saying coaches, you know, about the bastard kids and all that, don't mess with women like that. That's what I'm basically trying to, you know what I'm saying, get through, you know what I'm saying? But you took the words out of my mouth, man, so, you know.
Well, you got to promote that. See, the thing of bastard children, I've heard upwards of 70% of children born in the black American community are bastards. That is a social rot. You cannot have that because these kids are going to grow up and become pack animals, useless eaters, and they're going to do exactly what you're talking about. These are unsocialized animals. They are animals. They behave like animals.
All right. But, you know, I most definitely agree with you to a degree.
What degree don't you agree?
I agree with you to a degree because if that's the case, I was a bastard child. My mother had me when she was 14 years of age. She put me up for adoption when she was 14. That was back in 1972. I am a product of my biological mother, but my adoptive parents, in what with glory all be to God, and I have to put God first and foremost before anything. I agree with everything that you're saying, brother, but I got to give all glory to God because my parents instilled God in me at an early age when I was 5, 6, 7 years old. So I could do nothing but revert back to God's system, which Gerard so eloquently put, that it's God's system that we are have to go back to. I don't care what religion you are, respect is the core of anybody's human existence on this earth. If you don't respect anything, you know. So I am a product that I am out here affecting to make change. You're not any good if you're not affecting to make change. I affect to make change. I employ people. I teach people. I bring people when, at the end of the day, Dennis will tell you, when you don't have a pot to piss in, call my phone. I'm going to make a way to help you out in some way, shape, form, or fashion. But that was just something that was instilled in me as a child to say, hey, listen, it's more than just you.
Right. I want to comment on what you said when you finish so that we can be in agreement. I'm going to show you how we can be in 100% agreement when you finish. Let me know.
But you're very much so right that a lot of these people are having kids out here, and these kids are bottom feeders. I believe
that. But I want to address what you said. A lot of times with black folks, and I appreciate what you said, and I'm glad you are where you are, but a lot of times with black folks, they think they have to embrace the way they came into the world in order to be whole people. In other words, if I were born a bastard, I could acknowledge that was a bad thing and teach against it. In other words, you know, to be soft on it or to let it go unaddressed when you know that that's a cancer is not the mature thing to do. It's just like I was talking to a woman once. She had a child out of wedlock, a bastard child. And her reservations were similar to what you described. But I said to her, would you want your daughter to do the same thing that you did? She said, well, no. I said, well, then you've got to talk to her. You know, God forgives us as human. You've heard it said that we are, we're human and we're going to make mistakes. But the point of it is not to live at the mistake level. And so to say to a woman, even if you were born a bastard, to say to a woman it's not good to repeat that cycle is a good thing. That means you really understand the harm that has been done and is being done. So hopefully I made that clear, but you know, we don't have to be in disagreement.
You make that very much so clear.
One doesn't have to nurture the wrong that occurred in order to be a whole person and to actually condemn that. Because there are a lot of people who've been to prison. They condemn, breaking the law subsequently. That's called forgiveness. That's called making amends. And that's called correcting one's behavior. We don't have to forever live in the state, especially if it was a bad state, that we were born in. Now, one of the best things you said, one of the most positive things you said, is that you were given up for adoption. That's a beautiful thing. Jesus was an adopted child, in a sense, because Joseph wasn't his natural father. And some of the best parents in the world are adopted parents. And so we can definitely talk about that. And we should even say to some of the young people who make mistakes, they shouldn't further the mistake by keeping the child. They should give the child up for adoption. But we need to talk against the inappropriate behavior of having 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 kids, all of them by different fathers. That is not a mistake. That is a pattern and a lifestyle. And everybody who has balls or ovaries need to stand up and speak against that, because you can't build anything with those kind of
people. I have a partner that has 11 kids, and I most definitely, I truly say, you know, man, you have ruined these women's lives, because 11 kids with your income, come on, man, you can't educate all these kids. You can't put all these children through school. You know, one of his oldest children already is going, is in and out of jail already, picked up curfew and all this kind of stuff. So you 110% on here. I hope everybody else is following in suit and actually getting in the mind frame of what he's talking about, because Pastor Mo said it, you're saying it, Gerard's saying it, I'm saying it, Dennis is saying it, you know, it's got to start somewhere. What are we going to do? What's the process in order to start to get the thing corrected?
Yo, LB, real quick, I wanted to just say, you said your partner's ruined their lives.
My partner is ruining people's lives by having 11 kids.
Hold on, no, the women ruined their lives. I mean, that's one thing
Wait, understand, no, listen, understand this. And you do not understand anything else in this world. I've already said it before on the radio show. It starts from God. It goes from God, man, woman, child. At some point in time, you cannot put all the onus on a woman. When is a man? When is a man going to become a man? I was raised as
a man. Hey. You. Are you bored? Are you just lonely? Are you just surfing the web or just on your Android phone, not doing nothing? Well, check it out. Look no further. Log on to www.westernworld1.com. That's WESTONWORLDONE.com. And check out some of the hottest unsigned artists from all over the world. Again, that's www.westernworld1.com. That's WESTONWORLDONE.com. Check them out. Log on. Let's go. Look and see what it is. You're not doing nothing.
All right, we back. Fellas, man, I don't really got that much time, man. I want to thank everybody for coming out, man. I'm going to go ahead and let Pastor Mo close it out, man. But log on WesternWorld1.com, WESTONWORLDONE.com. Blog Talk Radio, where we do speak about substance, nothing but substance in our show, what we do here. But go ahead, Pastor Mo, let's close it out, brother.
Well, brother, I just wanted to say, man, good topic. You know, God is blessing you to bring up topics that we're faced with every day, and I'm glad that everybody is passionate about it. But I do want to say this to everybody who called in for the roundtable. Let us be mindful to respect the host of the show. Everybody has something to say. Everybody, feels passionate about it. But when you don't have respect for the host of the show, then it's all about you getting your own glory and not for people to be helped. And so even though some of us are passionate and we got our own viewpoints and we're strong about it, we can give commentary 45 minutes straight, if we don't respect the host, you out of order. And so we know that the Bible say we have to do things decent and in order. And if you had your own radio show, you wouldn't allow, maybe the host of this show to come on your show and rant for 45 minutes straight. And so we got to respect one another, respect the host. He's gracious enough to allow you to come on and talk, but don't come in somebody's house and you take off your own shoes and sit on his couch and go into his refrigerator without even asking him out of courtesy, can I take my shoes off, can I have a seat, or without even waiting for him to say, have a seat. So, Brother Dennis, I just want to say, man, it was real good, but I want to say to the round table, that's everybody, including the guest that came on. If we cannot tame ourselves to be respectful, then we should not call in. And we have to be respectful to anybody's show. And that's a part of putting action to words about respecting each other. We don't give commentary on somebody's show for 45 minutes straight. So I just appreciate your efforts, man. Keep up the good work. Allow God to continue working through this. This is helpful. Everybody's viewpoint is unique, and it's important. And if we decide to read a book, that's good. If God has given us vision or insight, that's also important. Let us voice it, but let us be respectful. And let us not disrespect people because we feel that we got a little bit more knowledge than others. And that's what drives people away also, is when you feel like you're a 10, but really you might be a 2, but you can talk good. And so let us be mindful of respecting each other, including on Blog Talk Radio. Appreciate you. Love you, man. Keep up the work. And I'll be tuning in every time Blog Talk Dennis Live is up and running.
Go.
Tune in to the Dennis Live Network featuring our superstar roster. Every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., you got the conversation with Keith, waking our urban people up. Followed by every Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time with the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo discussing real life matters and ministry and relationships. Then you have Hip Hop Fridays interviewing and playing the hottest pure talent from all over the world at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And every Saturday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, you are tuned in with the Dennis Live Show. That is a general-based topic show interacting with the people. www.westernworld1.com.